successful men who I had participating in the business meetup on Valentine's Day, those were also the guys who were best able to hold a conversation. I could sit them down in front of any female anywhere, and they could get right to it. Let me go ahead and say one name. I don't want to put him on Front Street, but he already knows it. My dude, Andre. My dude, Dre, can talk to any female anywhere. You can sit him down anywhere, anytime, any place. He can talk to any woman anywhere. Don't matter how pretty, don't matter how ugly, don't matter how fit, don't matter how fat, don't matter how loud, don't matter how quiet. He can talk to any woman anywhere you put him. And he is equally comfortable across the board. They can't rattle him. You young cats need to get that. If you can't talk to a fat, ugly broad and butter her up, how the hell you think you're going to talk to a dime, much less get some accommodation? So stop trying to figure out, well, when you give me the perfect situation, when I get with the right one, if you can bring the right one to me, if I can be motivated, man, you're just going to be a square ball corn-ass nigga sitting up here boring the dime. But first and foremost, you do a hell of a whole lot better to learn how to speak among the men. Learn how to talk among the men. Learn how to be leaders among the men. Learn how to socially interact with the men. Learn how to talk to the men. Learn how to sit here and chop up game among the men. Learn how to step your game up among the men. Learn to be competitive among the men. And then you can take that skill set over to the women. Let me tell y'all, the fellas who do best with the women, their bank accounts reflect that. I'm not saying there's a one-to-one causation. I ain't saying that. But what I am saying is that, by the way, I couldn't help but notice the fellas who are operating at the top of the game, their social skill game is on point. Their social skill game is on point. Some of you young fellas here, you got to be students. So when I open this thing up, and I'm looking at doing it next week, I'm going to create a new tier. And I think you would be well served to start using that as an environment where you start learning how to interact. Just start working on your ability to talk. Now, I'm going to get to the females in a little bit. I'll get to y'all a little bit later, because a bunch of you are tongue-tied and inept. You're not engaging. You see, that's why Ebony K. Williams thinks that she's a dime. Think of Ebony whatever you will, and I already teed off on her last night, but Ebony knows how to engage in a conversation. Now, the problem for her is she tries to take the damn thing over, and that's not very feminine. But Ebony knows how to talk. Ebony knows how to engage in a conversation. Ebony is confident in her conversation and conversing skills. Most of you females are not. That's why so many of you want to, we got an epidemic today of the females who want to steer the conversation towards sex. Yeah, because you don't know how to talk. So you're like, oh, hell, well, if we can't talk, can we jump in bed then and do something else? Lady, your sex game is not going to put no dollars in my pocket. It's going to take dollars out. It's not going to put no dollars in. That's going to get real damn old real damn fast. That's going to get very damn old very damn quickly. So to the young cats here asking, how do we get gamed up? How do we get in that environment? You in it right now. You're here now. I want to have other fellas who are a part of this as well, because y'all need to start learning how to interact with men who are on a higher level. I'm talking about just conversing. A bunch of you don't have life experiences. That's the other thing. You so damn scared to lose something here. Nigga, let me tell you something. In my life right now, if I had to think over, man, I'm pretty sure I've probably blown somewhere around $1 million by now. I'm pretty sure I've blown about $1 million, maybe $2 million by now. I'm certain it's been a million, and it may have been 2 million. Can I tell y'all something else? Y'all are here on Patreon. Let me tell you something else. A couple of years ago, I had to start putting the brakes on how much money I made. I was paying out too much in taxes. I actually had to pull back on how much I made. I was paying too much in taxes. I'll just say that it was being put in places where capital gains applies. So I was like, oh, hell, I'm making too damn much. I'm making too much. I got to pull back. Ain't no place to hide it. There's no place to hide it. There's no place to shield it. Oh, hell, you're going to pay the top rate. Let me ease back on the stick. Let me ease back. My CPA was like, you know what this tax bill is, don't you? You know, you probably could have bought a house with this. I'm like, are you sure? He was like, yes, I've added it up. I said, I didn't think I made that much. I was certain that I had losses that exceeded that. He was like, oh no, you're way up. I was like, are you certain? Which is not a question you ask my CPA, because he's always sure. Are you sure? Yes. You're way over. You thought that you balanced it out? You thought you, you know, made it dead even? No. You're way over. Man, look here. When you got to understand, when you build and you making moves, you making things happen, dude, you can't be scared to sit up here and lose hundreds, much or even thousands. A bunch of you young fellas, let me tell you right now, you need to go on the same damn thing that I gave the females, because a lot of you young fellas don't know. You don't know how to strike up conversations with people. You don't know how to do that. Take your ass down to Macy's, get you a decent pair of penny loafers. Get you on them people there to help you get you some decent trousers and a dress shirt so you can start taking some account of the way you're dressing and looking. And then you need to go somewhere. No, you ain't going to Miami, nigga. You're not going to Miami. Let me tell you, it would be a great idea for you to buy a damn plane ticket and don't get on the plane, or if you do, it needs to be hella late. Buy you a damn plane ticket. Go around Hartsfield-Jackson, Reagan International, DFW, Houston, LAX. They got restaurants, shops, everything else. You need to start learning how to interact. You got shopping malls. You need to go there and learn how to make the little sales girls smile. You need to learn how to kick up a conversation so that what you're saying ain't corny. Man, I got to do this again. The ladies going to love it when I do this. To the young fellas here, I want you to understand something. Pay attention. None of these other dudes are going to do this for y'all. Y'all set up here and gave props to a bunch of niggas for real, and all they can do is get hoes to swing on them. I got chicks who swung on me too. You know why? Because I was leaving. Big ass difference. The difference is you niggas got hoes swinging on you because you said something stupid and upset them. I got them swinging on me because I'm trying to leave. Big difference, dude. Let me explain something to you. Just a few weeks ago, not going to tell you where it was. I will just say it was Nordstrom's. Not going to tell you who she was. I'm just going to say the heifer was a disciplinary problem. I'll just leave it at that. She was a disciplinary problem. But somehow, some way, I ended up on the wrong side of the tracks. It happens. It occurs. So I'm sitting at this Nordstrom's. She's floating around like she got angel wings. She looking at some sunglasses that cost $600. She put them things on. She was looking like $1 million, by the way. She put on some sunglasses that cost about $600, but she was looking like a million when she walked over to me. She said, "Daddy, can I get it?" And I sat there and looked at her and said, "Have you been giving me $600 worth of satisfaction?" I put them things back. But they Ray-Ban. I don't give a damn if they Ray Skywalker. Put them back. Either you going to pay for them, one or the other. One or the other. Let's see if we can find something that's a little bit more within your social budget. Let's see if we can find something a little bit closer to that. Hey, we can walk out this son of a gun if we need to. I'm cool with that too, as a matter of fact. I'm cool just getting up and walking out of here. I'm aye with that. We can go right now. Ain't no reason for me to use up any more shoe leather up in here. We can walk out right now. I'm good. She didn't leave. She went to go see if she can get something else. And she found it. Some leather thing. I'm like, all right. Whatever. Because she wear the hell out that dress. So I'm like, all right. Well, I'm probably going to regret this in a little bit. But probably going to regret this in a little bit. She knew the usual suspects. Let me go find some shoes. Let me get this damn overpriced-ass dress over here. She knew the usual suspects. All right, but y'all know how it is with Jason. You know how it is with him. You know he ain't going to do it but one kind of way. So Jason's sitting up here, and I said, well, let's go ahead and check out. And I'm getting up here to the checkout register. And there's this young lady who's standing there, and she's saying something. As we're walking up, she's saying something. She's talking to somebody like it looked about 10, 12 feet in front of her. Now, little red bone chick, but she was tall. She was like 5'10", 5'11". Little tall, little red bone. She had a tattoo on her hand. I'm like, okay. Nordstrom's, we doing this now? But she had a tattoo on her hand. She had a little bit too much cleavage showing, but I'm like, all right, baby, you trying too damn hard. But okay. She thought she was fly. All right. But she was talking to somebody who was like 10, 12 feet in front of me, and she was telling them about, you know, she was saying something about a department to go to in the store, like where it was. I'm like, okay. I walk past the other chick who was at the red checkout. Now I want to walk into this chick right here because I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and see if we can work some business. Let me see if we can work some business. So I walk up to her and I'm like, hey, what's going on? Oh, because I realized what she was doing. I realized what happened. And I said, oh. I thought you were talking to somebody else. I was like, hey, Playboy, are you going to go upstairs or what? That's when I realized, oh, I'm looking at the mannequins. You were talking to some people, and I'm looking at the mannequins. I thought you were talking to the mannequins, telling them to go upstairs to another department. Don't you know she fell out laughing when I said that? I said, yeah, I was about to say, hey, Playboy, is you going to go upstairs or what? Then I got over here up closer and realized, oh, you're a mannequin. She's talking to somebody even further away. I didn't even know. Don't you know she fell out laughing? Don't you know she fell out laughing? Now, you know what Jason is thinking when you do, ladies, when y'all do that laugh with me, let me tell you what I'm thinking. Gotcha. I got him. Let me tell you, ladies, when you bust out with that laugh, that's your ass. That's your ass. I got you. I got you. That is your ass. Because you know it's going down. That's your ass because you know it's going down. I think her name was like Tiana, so you know where this is going. I think her name was Tiana, so you know where I'm going with this. Baby, look here. To the fellows who've been following me for half a minute, you know where this is going. I looked at that name tag. The name is Tiana. Oh, she already laughing. Oh, you already know we're about to run the play. You already know we're about to run the play. To the fellows who've been following me, you know what play he's about to run. Cut left straight up the middle. Tiana Trump? What the hell? How about Tiana Taylor? Did somebody say Tiana Trump? Who the hell is Tiana Trump? All right. I don't know who Tiana Trump is, but Tiana Taylor. I'm thinking Tiana Taylor, not Tiana Trump, but all right. In any case, man, look here. Porn chick? No. Tiana Taylor ain't quite there yet, so no. I'm talking about Tiana Taylor, not who y'all talking about. That was it. You know where we're going with this? You know where we're going. Oh, your name is Tiana. I'm like, oh, trouble. She's like, what do you mean trouble? I said, Kanye told me about you. She started laughing again. Bam. Man, look here. The day is over. That's a wrap. The day is over. Ain't nothing else going on. Next order of business, let me hand you this overpriced-ass all-leather belt y'all got sitting over here on this damn rack. Let me hand that to you right quick. I told her, that's about your size, isn't it? She was like, yeah. Don't y'all know, old girl, I could feel her eyes on me. I could feel old girl I brought with me, I could feel her eyes on me. I'm making a damn point to you, heifer. I'm making a damn point. Oh, I ain't got to hide a damn thing. I'm going to do this right in front of you. I'm making a damn point to you today. We'll be here. So I said, yeah, that would fit you nice right there, wouldn't it? She's like, yeah, that's about her size. But yeah, I figured it was. Then I put them shoes up there. I said, you think those are nice? I don't know. You think those are nice shoes? She's like, yes. I'm like, oh, hell. There you go. There it is. I said, that accent you got, where are you from originally? Fellas, you got to take notes of all those things. Are you being observant? How does she look? How does she sound? How does she smell? How does she dress? You take a look at all these factors. That accent you got, where are you from originally? Philadelphia? What you mean? Jason don't know what he's talking about. What do you mean? Y'all see me do it every damn day. You see me do it every damn week. Come on now. Y'all heard me talk to, what's her name, TJ Randolph last night. She's telling me things she ain't told her damn husband. You know it. While she's sitting up here trying to rewrite her past. Yeah, you rewriting your past because these are things you don't want to talk about your husband about. Because I asked questions that nigga didn't ask. I asked questions that nigga didn't ask, because that don't make no damn sense. No female sits up here and jumps in the bed with no nigga, and we've been in there for 6 months, but he's bad. I can't tell you anything good about him. That means that nigga was the bomb. That's what that means. That means that nigga was on point. That's what that means. Oh, yeah, one more thing. A few understand something. So she was with that dude for 6 months. Then she gets to this fellow who's a truck driver, and 10 months later they married. This heifer moved fast as a mug, don't she? Talking about she was desperate with the guy she was with for 6 months. Sounds like you was just desperate, period. She was a bird just looking for a branch to land on. I wasn't going to say all that on YouTube last night, but I'm over here on Patreon, so let's just keep it a buck real. Let's keep it a buck on top of a stack. Come on now, 6 months with one dude, 10 months with another. This heifer moving faster than the Flash. You know she out to get what she can get. I'm showing you the mathematics. You can't dispute that. You can't debate that. She went from one to another. This heifer moved in increments of months, not years. Then when she got married to old dude, okay, let's go buy this house and move my auntie in. Nigga, don't you know you belong to the game? Do you all really believe that man bought that house with the intention of living with her aunt? Is there anybody here who believes that that man bought that house with the intention of living with her and her auntie? Do you really believe a 58-year-old man wants to live with that woman and her aged aunt? No, Mr. Headbuster wasn't going to let you do that. Can we just keep it real? Mr. Headbuster, you can talk. She's claiming he was. She ain't telling the whole story. But guess what? What she really means is Mr. Headbuster wasn't going to let her pull no game on him like that. Mr. Headbuster wasn't going to do it. She just running game. Real niggas know. We're going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the business on Patreon. The telephone lines are, of course, now open. I want to say one more thing here right quick. If you are paying for Patreon, you're paying for the same services everybody else is getting. Black Jessup, you need to stop that stuff in my comment sections, brother. I'm going to just say this one time. You don't tell who to call up or who not to. I'm the only person who gets to do that. So when you start running your own Patreon, you can start telling people who you want calling up and who you don't think needs to. But this will be my first, last, and final time saying that. You don't get on my Patreon and tell who should call in and who shouldn't. If Jason hadn't said it's an issue, you don't try to use my platform for what you want. You go start yours and you can have call up whoever you want to or don't. That's cool too. But if you do it again on mine, it's going to be problems. Real talk, my dude. Back up with that. Run yours however you want to run yours. You don't get on mine week after week talking about who you don't want calling in. You don't do that. That's disrespectful. So I gave you some leeway to stop that. It seems like you don't want to take subtlety very well. Let me go ahead and just say this to you flat out right. Anybody who doesn't like who I allow to call in or whatever, everybody got the same abilities and got the same rights. If you don't like it, go start your own. And then you can hear or not hear whatever you want to. But stay out of my comment section with that mess. I don't take it on YouTube. I'm not going to take it on Patreon. Straight up, my dude, straight up, for him or anybody else. Let me say it again. That goes for him and anybody else. You don't like the way I run my program. You don't like how long I allow guests, people to stay on the damn phone. I'm paying for the damn phone call. If you don't like who I got on the phone or how long they're on there, take your ass over to Fresh and Fit. You can go listen to them sit up here and drone on and babble for 6 or 7 hours. If you don't like the fact that I let somebody sit on the phone for an hour while they're making an ass of themselves, you don't like the way I run my damn program, nigga, get back over there. You can go listen to Pearly Things or The Screed Attorney. You can go listen to them. Go listen to Hotep Jesus. You can go listen to him. If you don't like the way I run this damn thing. You can run your mouth. You will never run the business. much less mine. That's real talk, my nigga. Telephone lines are now open. The Zoom. Oh, did I lose my Zoom? Yeah, let me go ahead and throw the Zoom link. Pin the Zoom at the top of the chat. Let's go ahead and do that while we're at it here. The telephone lines now open. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the program that all your favorite YouTubers love to hate watch. This is the place to get those things straight. Look, I'm all about actionable information. I'm not about entertainment. I'm about telling you something that you can use. I'm telling you about something that you can use and implement in the real damn world. The reason why there is a red pill today is because you got so many males who be given information they can't even put into action. Listen to Rolo Tomasi tell you about women's menstrual cycles and the damn moon. What the hell planet are we on with y'all listening to that? What the hell planet we own? You letting some old white dudes sit up here and run game on you like that? You letting him sit up here and tell you about menstrual cycles and the moon? And you listening? You actually sitting there listening to him? Run game. Straight up snake oil salesman. He don't know nothing. Nigga, what is the... menstrual cycles in the moon? What the hell? Okay, so the other 3 weeks out the month, the women are acting right? They bad during the menstrual cycle, and if the moon is a full moon. But the rest of the time, they okay. What the hell? That's who y'all listening to? No, get your ass back over there and go listen to him. Go over there to Fresh and Misfit, repeating the same damn thing every week. Women are judged on how they look, not how much money they make. Your money doesn't matter. They say the same damn thing every damn week. No new ground broken. No new frontiers. Nothing. What the hell? This is the only place where you all hear something different. This is the only place that breaks new ground. This is the only one. The rest of them don't do that. Because they can't. Because Rolo hasn't created a new rule for them. That's why you don't see. He had to learn from me. He had to get the game and the information from me. He's had whole parts of his books and things he doesn't want to talk about anymore. He doesn't want to talk about being an alpha anymore. After I made it clear to everybody, by the way, an alpha is about power, and Rolo don't understand that. When he said that the red pill is a praxeology, not a methodology, and I point out to all of y'all, why the hell would you be listening to somebody who literally just sat here and told you, I can tell you what the red pill is. I can't tell you what to do with it. What the hell are we here for? You can tell us what the red pill is, but you can't tell us what we're going to do? Don't you know you got a nigga who ain't leading you nowhere? I can tell you what the hell to do with it. Furthermore, I can tell you that's what the women want you to do with it. A woman ain't looking for you to give her for her to give you the game plan, and she ain't looking to partner with you to get one neither. Not even Ebony K. Williams, when she was with that white man, he wasn't taking no partnership. When she was with that white man, she wasn't trying to have no partnership. He was the captain of the ship. It wasn't no partnership. It was a leadership and a dictatorship. And she was cheesing big as hell, sat there for 4 damn years waiting for him to close the deal while she telling black men that she wants to be a partner. But when she was up under that white man's management, she wasn't talking like that. He let her know what the deal was. He said, here, sit your ass in this damn apartment, but I don't really want to hear from you. Pandemic came. He said, all right, it's time for me to break camp. While she telling you she wants to help you build the damn game plan, you chip that heifer off at the next corner. A woman is looking for a man who knows the deal, know where he going, got the damn house built. All she got to do is move in and put up curtains. She ain't looking for a nigga helping her to put up walls. You go get whatever the hell need to be gotten. She'll get comfortable with it. Because you probably know better anyway, or at least you should. Too many damn mama's boys who don't. Your woman is fantasizing about a damn G-Wagon. I can tell you what the damn thing is. Me and all the niggas I go with. Bonafide certified. I ain't talked to them just one time. I didn't have T.K. Kirkland on just once. Isaiah Washington just once. Joe Brown just once. The rest of your damn internet fakers and phonies, they got folks who come on for cameos to use them for views. These are people I talk to. And they wouldn't still be talking to me if I wasn't built right. They wouldn't be still talking to me if I wasn't solid. They don't need no chit-chat buddies. Can tell a female what she don't know about that car she want to drive. She's like, oh, hell, this is the nigga here? I'll be damned. What else does he know? That's what experience gets you. And y'all didn't have to have somebody else tell me that? Nigga, you don't want me to go there? Jason, is you gonna do it? I'm gonna do it. Damn sure got to tell you. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. Somebody else sitting up here talking your damn ear off and ain't said nothing. Dude, I don't bring receipts. I bring invoices. I bring invoices. I live in Louisiana. Let me run down here to Miami and see what they got going on. Let me see what they got happening. Hey, we can order whatever you need. All right. I'm with it for the right price. I will pay. I won't overpay. Baby, why come you didn't get the G-Wagon? Because I pay, I don't overpay. Let me explain to you exactly what it is. We can get something else. Or we'll wait. I ain't no pedestrian. I'm good. I'm good. Let's go ahead and get these phone lines popping. Let me get caller from area code 305. You're on live with the business on Patreon. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Legend calling out of Atlanta.
All right, Legend out of Atlanta. What's on your mind?
Thank you so much for your broadcast that we have done. I was actually supposed to call you today, I think it would be like 2 years ago, about my update.
Niggas is late.
So I think when you, I think when I had first told you I was 23 years old, I wanted to go into programming. And I remember you had told me to go do it. I was making too much little income. And I had asked you about making a Facebook group. And I remember you had told me specifically, like, I wouldn't make one because all you would do is just sit on it. And it was crazy for that whole year. I just sat down, bouncing, jumping. And I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. So finally, I got into trade school. And now I got my A+ Security Plus.
Yeah, I think you were asking me about what you like wanted to be a truck driver and a doctor and IT. And he had about three or four different things he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I told you, man, you need to settle on just one. I also told you I had no confidence you were going to do that either.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Like I say, when you get tired of getting knocked around and wasting years, it's like, ooh, hell, let me go ahead and settle on one damn thing. Children jump around like that. It's like, hey, let me go ahead and settle on one thing so we can get this train moving.
Yeah, it's crazy that you're talking about hanging around like men and all that, because one of your patrons, Professor Jones, in December, you had brought him on to talk about stuff, and nobody could get his email. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just replay the video back and find it. So I emailed him. He got on the phone call. He gave me a specific game plan, and he told me don't hit him back up until you get these certifications. And I just passed the security plus yesterday.
Now, doesn't that sound familiar? y'all young boys who've been raised by single moms and deadbeat ass niggas, y'all used to folks sitting here treating you like children, and you get to just sit here and yip at our heels and whatnot. We don't have men who doing things and making things happen. We ain't got time like that. We don't have time to chit chat. Furthermore, we don't have the interest. So it's one we will talk to folks who are getting things done. We ain't gonna sit up here and talk to somebody who's like, okay, well let me chit chat with whoa I'm a guy who's getting things done. I want to talk to men who are getting things done. I don't need a chit-chat, buddy. I got females for that. So, yeah, we're going to tell you real quick. Here's the game plan. Hey, get off my phone. You burning time. My time is valuable. Holler back at me when you got something of value to offer. Until you get this done that I've given you, until you get the task done that I put to you, you ain't got nothing of value. So the man just lets you know, here's what it is. You either going to make yourself of value or you won't, but you won't be on my phone while you're not valuable.
That's yeah, and I
that's
just
man talks to another man.
Yeah, and I think I just called him yesterday, so he told me what he was going to do for me is, like, put some experience in my resume. So he just told me, like, he gave me another game plan to go into Wireshark because I'm basically becoming a threat analyst now. I'm like, programming is not for me. So he told me specific game plan. I'm just running the play at this point. And I just moved to Atlanta, so I'm just running the play.
Isn't it amazing what happens when you get serious?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing? When you stop
yes.
jumping around and you become stable. Professor Scott Galloway talked about this. Professor Scott Galloway talked about what is the most important element in succeeding at anything, at becoming excellent. And he said the same thing I said. I called it drive. He said focus. That being focused is the most important element of accomplishing anything. And then he said what I was looking for. He said that focus was more important than intelligence, more important than networking. Your ability to focus on something is more important than anything else. Your ability to draw all of your energies to be singularly concentrated in one place, because most people can't do that. That's the reason why they don't finish what they start, or if they do finish it, they can't excel at it. So if you stop jumping around, throwing your focus and your energy all over the place, all scattershot, and you focus and you can drill down into one specific area and perfect that area, that's where excellence comes from. I expect to see more.
Yes, I thank you so much for whether for you or him. I really, you know, I'm 25 years old and I just got to get to it. You know, there's no more playing games. So I appreciate everything you do. You speak. It's just straight facts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate
one more
it.
Thing. Whoa. One more thing. Because here's another
yes,
thing
sir.
That trips guys up, especially when I tell them about IT. They always call me and ask me, well, Jason, which specific area of IT should I go into? And they don't like, a lot of them don't like the response I give, which is, it really doesn't matter because you're not going to settle in the one area to begin with. You, the most important thing is to get started. Choose one. Pick one. That's the most important step to take. Not, quote, unquote, finding the right one. Choose one because you're not going to be competent in IT in just one area to begin with. You're going to have several disciplines. In your case, you try programming, and you said, eh, that's not for me. But you didn't just stop at programming. That's,
mm-hmm.
Would you say that that information I gave was accurate?
Very accurate to the point. No chase needed.
You're not going to do just one anyway. The most important thing in this IT area is to get started because it is your perseverance and your consistency that will determine your success, not the, quote, area of study, because you ain't going to stop in just one area anyway. There's going to be a number of different areas you're going to study. Just start, and you'll eventually make the rounds to all the rest of them. IT is a circle, not a line.
Yes.
For the general public, when you think about IT, IT is like a circle. It's not a line. So you're going to go around it. You don't just start it. It's not like medical school where you start, you know, as a CNA and end up an RN. That's not the way IT works. IT is more like a circle, not a line. You're going to make all the rounds to everything. Other disciplines are usually like a straight line, and you start in one place and build yourself up because you have to learn one thing on top of another. That's not the way IT works. IT is a number of different skill sets. It's not a progression of skill sets. Not in the traditional sense you all think of it.
Yeah.
I hear back from you in 6 months.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you again.
Thank you for giving us a call here today. I don't discuss high-value men. I build high-value men. My track record goes on for years. While Slob City and then the rest of the damn Red Pills are sitting over there making straight asses of themselves, ain't built a damn matchstick box, much less built men. My track record runs years long. We build high-value men here. We don't just talk about it and complain about it. I build them. Day after day, brick by brick, step by step, year by year. Caller from area code 281, you're on live with the business. I'm Patron. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Prince out of Richmond, Texas.
Prince out of Richmond, what's on your mind?
Jason, last night, I want to tell the young men, you know, for all the young men, you know, who are wondering, if you want to be able to tell when a woman is lying, you did a clinic last night, you know, when you questioned that the female military veteran, you know, you went straight into it and you just broke it down, because a woman is not going to be honest up front. Most are not. And women lie and numbers don't. I was always taught that. And you listen for the numbers. You pay attention. You observe her. How many tattoos she got? How many children she got? How many different men she have them by? As you talk to a woman, learn about her financial priorities. What does she spend most of her money on? The numbers are important, because women will try to manipulate you. You understand? But they can't manipulate the numbers. They can try to push you aside, but sooner or later, it's going to come back to what it is. And another thing I would like to say, you know, because a lot of them, you may be asking, hence, that takes experience in dealing with women, okay? A woman cannot be properly committed to you if you're not a competent leader. Please, please know that. That when I was younger, I couldn't really lead a woman the way I thought I could. I wasn't a competent leader yet. The experience is important. A lot of things we speak from, trial and error, experience. But I want to ask you a question, Jason. And I want, because you were talking to the woman last night, the veteran, and I want, you know, when she was talking about, oh, he abused her or whatever, you asked, now you say it was abuse in the relationship. They always put it out like that. And you say, well, how many times did you attack him? I don't think people understand that women get physical. A woman will try you physically. A woman will try to run you over.
It's not just about that, though. It is about the fact that, don't tell me you were in a relationship with somebody and then you start telling me they were abusive. Don't tell me that, because the bottom line is, you're not going to be in if you were at your job and something happened that you didn't like, you would stop it that day. If that was really what it was. The problem is, what we see today is a pathology. Whenever you talk to the females about their relationships, it's never, ever, ever her fault.
Never.
100,000% of the time, it is always, always, 100%, always the man's fault. Now, she'll be on set here and cheated on him with 12 damn people, and when you ask her what happened to her last relationship, she'll tell you about how bad the guy was, won't say a word about the 12 niggas that she got stretched out on the table for. Won't say a word about them.
No.
Now, this is the way that women as a group operate today. This is female culture today. Is when you ask them about their relationships, they sit up here and crucify the men. So as men today, we need to understand that this dishonesty is now part of female culture. It is ingrained in female culture. And from here on, you must approach female dishonesty the exact same way you do white supremacy. I'm saying it.
Wow.
You must approach them both the same. You must assume that white folk are going to try to ignore racism until proven otherwise. And you must assume that the female is going to try to mislead you and manipulate you about where she's been until proven otherwise. And they got a rundown of little slurs that they throw out there. Oh, he was broke. He was unmotivated.
Yeah.
Abused me. He was cheating on me. They always do that. But the bottom line is, wait a minute, you wouldn't have been in no relationship if you wasn't getting nothing out of it. You ain't going to do that. So if you were getting something out of it, he was pleasing you at some point. If that broke down, then we've all been in relationships. It probably broke down for a reason. And I'm not going to assume that your version of the events is the version of the events. You're doing that because he's not here to tell us what happened. When you sat there and talked to Rihanna, she sat there in front of Barbara Walters and turned Chris Brown into the damn meat devil. She literally sat there and said, I looked in his eyes and he had no soul. What the hell does that mean? What the hell does that mean? I looked in his eyes, he had no soul. What? How many people y'all think about that for a few moments? It's like the people who say that God talked to him. Wait a minute, hold on. Does God, whose God sound like? Morgan Freeman, James Earl Jones? Who's he sound like? He sound like me. Are you sure it wasn't you? Are you certain that wasn't you? So when the females do that, brother, just understand that the guy isn't here to defend himself. So she's like, oh, this will be a one-way conversation. I can just rip him apart. So, but you know she's being dishonest because she's talking about him. She ain't talking about herself. So you're being sold. You're being sold exactly. On. Because when you tell me you a single mother for 30 years, and then you telling me about the men, I'm like, hey, I see your damn get down. You don't have respect for matrimony, positive relationships. You don't have any respect for that. And then you tell me the men are messed up. No. And then when she sat there and said, I don't know why I was with him. Now, that's the biggest damn lie in the world. We all know why we with somebody, even if it's just for sex. We all know exactly. Why the hell we were there. So for her to say it was red flags all over the place, I don't even know why I was there. I'm like, oh, you saying that because your nigga is sitting here.
Exactly.
You saying that, that man must have been in earshot because she didn't want to tell me what the real deal was. Let's just go ahead and say it like it was. Old boy made more money or he was better in bed. Or he gassed her head up and she was just to jump off and he wasn't really fooling with her like that. Well, she said, I was desperate. Sound like you was just to jump off. And you trying to tell the world that it was something it wasn't. And when you a jump off, niggas is going to let you off at the next damn corner and then you going to go crazy. You could tell from her energy and every damn thing else, this is a heifer who gets up in niggas' faces. This is a heifer who wants to overtalk you and get up in your damn face. Same thing with Ebony K. Williams. She wasn't up in that white man's face, but for the black man, she's up in your face. Neck jerking, yelling, overtalking and whatnot. Hey, look here. You're going to run up on the right one one day. You're going to run up on the right damn one in here. He will abuse me. But you ain't going to sit up here and show the video. You all up in his damn face like that. Let me tell you something. That's an issue. That is a damn issue. Okay. You invade this man's personal space. Oh, we don't do that. Because if a woman is in your face, what she's saying is she got the right to lay hands on you. Every female knows that. They all try to play dumb about it. She's up in your face. She's saying she got the right to lay hands on you. Because here's the other thing. Would she be okay with you allowing another man to get up in her face?
No.
No, you can't do that. Oh, why not? You get up in men's faces. Why shouldn't we? He ain't putting no hands on you. I'm going to just sit here. Is you going to get him up in the face? He ain't putting no hands on you yet. Remember you said, as long as they ain't putting hands on you, we're cool. All of a sudden, it's going to be a whole different set of rules. We've coddled the women by letting them believe they can just make up the rules as they go along. And the rules are always going to be self-serving, not logical. So when she said that, y'all saw the first thing I jumped on, no. You had a reason for being with that man. And the fact that she was so adamant that she did not want to, she literally sat here and told us she was in a relationship with a man for 6 months and he had no redeeming characteristics.
None.
Now, that right there lets you know, yeah, but you're lying. That's just not possible. Well, he was good looking. Okay, well, that's a given. What else did he have? And she didn't want to name a single thing. That tells you she running game.
Running game. That's exactly what she's doing. Jason.
Yeah. She's just hoping that nobody questions it.
there's two things that I ask women, and give me some advice on other things you say to them. When they start running down the last man they were with, I ask them, what did you do wrong in the relationship? That's the first one. And then I ask them, what attracted you to that man? And that's when they start stumbling and stuttering and all of that. So, and I tell them, don't tell me about the man that you blew to the side. Tell me about the one that made you smile. I don't want to hear it. So,
actually, you need to ask about everybody, because let's be very, very clear. There are three types of women deals with. The one she's in a long-term relationship that she wants to claim, the one that she was desiring but he wasn't into her, and the dudes that she was just laying up with and who she doesn't want to name.
Okay.
Today, their body counts as outrageous. So they'll tell you about the ones that they want to claim as a relationship. They ain't telling you about the one-night stands, the nigga that got flued out, the nigga who drove in. They ain't going to tell you about all of those. So
they don't count them.
You really need to find out about everybody.
Exactly.
Now, the way I deal with that is I tell a female, look here, the rules that work for you are going to be the rules that work for me. So if you hide anybody and you say, well, you know, we just slept together one time. Okay.
Yes. And I ask women, okay, how many men have you dated at one time? And see, that shocks them when you ask them something like that. They want you to assume that they just Miss Polly purebred. Now, how many men have you had on the that were able to date at one time without being found out?
Let's just go ahead and explain the damn real here. Females do not go for any length of time without somebody laying up in the bed, except under one set of circumstances. Well, there's actually two major circumstances, but there's only really two, but there's one which is the major one. The major circumstance is if a nigga done broke her.
Okay.
Now, when she's dealing with a man who has broken her, and up like what they call alpha widowed, if she has just gotten chipped off by he is the best. This nigga was amazing. He paid for the things. He upgraded the lifestyle. He's got her looking good. She got a good look. He's good in bed. You know, she's not going to let that go. That's going to break her. She's like, oh, hell, I'll be – when she meets the next dude and he doesn't come halfway to that standard, no wonder she's okay sleeping by herself. She's like, I'll be damned. The alternative is sleeping with you. So I'm good. I would rather sleep with my ex's memory than to sleep with you. I would rather be in bed remembering that man and rubbing on myself than laying in bed with you. Now, that's the man you want to be. It will also be highly prone to get somebody to run over you in the parking lot, but I'm just saying, that's the fella you want to be, though, bro. That's the fella you want to be. If she does try to get back on the horse, she's ruined. Did you say ruined? She's ruined. Because when
Definitely.
I understand something, here's the pathology. The next dude she tried to get with, it ain't going to be good enough. It is not going to be good enough. It is immediately going to be bad. She's immediately going to start demanding things of him. That chick last night, Prince, you know the damn rundown, 10 months in and she wants to get married, she's demanding things of this nigga right off the top. She's demanding
things
right
off. She running from
something. She ain't going to wait. She wasn't going to wait. She's like, well, I got to get it all. I got to get it now. So she like, we got to get married, and then right after that, we got to go buy a house. Next thing you know, she moved the damn auntie in. Nigga, you strapped to the game. You strapped to the game now. Now, the other circumstance is when a woman's gotten too old, when she feels like her time has run out. So if she feels like her time has run out, that can be an issue. So it's either the only time women stay without a man on them is if they feel like they can't do better. They're one of the guys who's rocked her damn world and can't do any better, or if she feels that her situation is so undesirable, either because of her age, finances, STDs, whatever. Those will usually be the only two things that will keep a woman out of the sexual marketplace for an extended period of time. So in other words, both of those basically qualify as some sort of trauma. But I'm just giving you the two major categories. She was with the dude who he was that dude. He was that fella. Because, like, for me, for example, I tell you dudes, you know, make an investment in doing intel, do research. If this chick is about that, y'all heard, when I go somewhere and I talk to a female, I'm asking questions. I'm setting things up to allow her or require her to give me more information. Where's that accent from? Oh, were you, when she tells me that, were you originally born there? I'm connecting all the damn dots. What you do? Why do you work this shift? She got a tattoo on her hand. What's that for? You see, I'm going in that situation right there. She's talking about her most important subject, her favorite subject, her damn self. Without me coming off as creepy and trying to get to sex, I'm like, oh, no, let's just go ahead and lay the game. I'm just here to kick a little conversation. Because I don't know if you qualify for anything more. So I'm just here to kick some conversation. I ain't really trying to get to know you. Fellas, don't do that. But once I get done with that, because for me, first I'm going to find out who you are. And then as we get down the line, if I do get to know you better, I'm going to find out what you don't know, where you haven't been, what you haven't seen, what you haven't done. And when I get done, you're going to do a whole bunch of things you never did before. That's it. Not the stupid stuff you talking about. Dumb hoes go to Vegas. Dumb hoes talk about going to Vegas. You know where smart men take a woman to a gun range.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something. Cheat code. If you're dealing with a chick, she want to be bowdy about that life, because I got some chicks who act like Ebony K. Williams. Look here. Take that little heifer to a gun range and then make sure she has one of the automatic weapons. See, she'll be sitting at the gun range. Okay, let me hand. I have one of the things I like to do. I like to have the man sit up here and handle that 9mm. As soon as he hands it to her, I reach. Give me that. Get that damn AK over there. Get that MP4 over there. Yeah, bring us that one. She looking at that damn thing like, oh my God, what are we gonna do with this? I'm like, yeah, you gonna learn today. You gonna learn today. We dropping your ass in the deep end of the water today. This is how you make an impression. This is how you make an impression. When I have my large size SUVs. Yeah, they're large size luxury SUVs, but it's to make a point to a female, because any female who's with me is going to have to drive one of them.
Right.
You're going to have to drive one of them because I'm trying to make a point to her. I'm making a point to her that this ain't your damn little passenger car you in. I bought this for a reason. So it might not be what you think it is. And then when they get out of it, they're like, hey, that's actually pretty damn nice. Yeah, they didn't know that going back all the way to 2015, GM was putting in wireless cell phone charging. If you got an Escalade or a Denali, the center console has wireless cell phone charging. Wireless, back in 2015. And we can go down the damn list. Then you got the Android Auto and Apple CarPlay and so on and so forth. I'm talking about it's a lot better decked out than a lot of these German cars are. Average female don't know that. So then you get her in and it's like, oh, she thinks you sitting up in there and it's like being in a Hummer and we going to Afghanistan. I'm like, oh, no, baby, it's very nice, actually. It's very nice. There's a reason I can put so many miles in it so quickly. It's very nice to be in here. It really, really is. But that's not what she's accustomed to. So dudes don't take the time to invest in that. They don't show a woman any new things. They're trying to sit up here and get a cheat code. They're trying to get a cheat code. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Don't sit up here and try to take her to Vegas. You're competing with a bunch of other folks there in Vegas. You need to take her somewhere where she's by herself, where you have introduced her to these new things and you don't have a bunch of people competing around her. Because the first thing you're doing is eliminating competition. If it's just you and her at the gun range, guess what? You ain't competing with nobody. You got to follow the instructor's rules, but there isn't really somebody there who knows more than you. So you're the one who breaks that in. You're the one who sets that. And from that day forward, she's trying to figure out what the hell to do. Niggas talking about going to Disney World. I'm talking about going somewhere else. Get your ass in this damn truck. We driving clean across New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada. We driving clean across all of them. We going straight through the damn desert so I can show you the differences in topography. Anybody who's made that drive across West Texas, then you curve up through New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, you take a first thing you notice is the difference between the soil. When you get into West Texas and then New Mexico, it turns red. It's like being on Mars. The air smells different in New Mexico. The air is different. It's kind of got a, really, to be totally honest with you, oily smell to it, to be totally honest. It's kind of like, kind of got an oily smell to it. But when you go to New Mexico, it's different. It's different than Central Texas, much less West Texas, when you end up in New Mexico. Make that, let me tell you, get something as simple as get that heifer out that damn car. I got the pictures on damn me Facebook when I showed y'all the sign that said next service is 90 miles. I showed y'all that I'm zooming down that damn state highway. I saw that damn sign. Don't y'all know I damn near did a spin out in the middle of the road to turn back around and go back to that sign and take a picture of it and say, last thing y'all saw? Let me send this to my kinfolk. I'm saying, hey, if y'all don't hear from me in 2 hours, this is where I was.
Yeah, but you're in dangerous territory, man. You know you don't should be hanging out over there.
Well, my point is, though, that once you went past that sign, you started seeing your cell phone signal bars go down and down and down until eventually there's nothing. You just got that little circle with the line through it. No service. Okay, on the one hand, it is a bit disconcerting because it's like an old 70s horror movie. You're just out there by yourself. There's mountains on either side of the road. So, it's like an old 70s horror film. It really, really is. And you're by yourself on your way to El Paso. On your way to El Paso. Mr. Gabriel, you're correct. On your way to, it wasn't I-10. It wasn't I-10. This was a state highway. But Interstate 10 is the same way. But taking that state highway out, and what I'm saying is you get to see the soil. You get to see the terrain. You get to see signs you ain't never seen before. Going up through Oregon, or was that Washington? Dead Man's Pass. I got the pictures.
Okay.
I got the pictures. I don't have what somebody told me. I've got what I lived. I got what I've lived. And if you're a woman with me, you gonna live that. While this nigga talking about he took you to Vegas. He took you to Miami. Okay, she's down there in Miami, but it's not going to be like when I went. It's not going to be that. When he take you to Miami, you going to the beach. When you go to Miami with me, we're going somewhere other than the beach. We're doing something different.
Right.
These are circumstances you don't have. They going down into Miami. It's hard for me because I'm a food person when I go certain places and whatnot. Miami doesn't really have the kind of light and stuff like that, but take them to an oyster house. Miami usually does pretty good about that.
Right, they got some seafood.
Try to take them somewhere out of the way like that. But the bottom line is, don't do the ordinary thing. You should be trying to introduce them to something new. That's why it's important for a man to travel and get learned up on these things, even if you got to do it in real time. This should be her first trip to Miami. It should be your second or third. It should be her trip to New Mexico. It should be your second or third. It should be her first trip to Boulder, Colorado. It should be your second or third. Even if you had to go 2 weeks ago earlier and then bring her 2 weeks later, you should be going and exploring the lay of the land. Man, y'all niggas ain't ready. Let me go ahead and remind y'all of a damn thing right here. I'm putting y'all up on platinum game. Y'all should be paying me a hell of a whole lot more than you do for this right here. Fellas, that's why I got to remind y'all. No boo, nigga.
They keep saying nigga.
Damn you and your mama. Let me tell you. You want to sit up here and blow a hose, mine?
Get your name! You come close!
They love me. Let me tell you something. You take that heifer to Nobu in America, and then 6 months later, make sure you want to talk about passports good. 6 months later, take her to Nobu in Dubai.
There you go.
Nigga, you ain't on this level. You're not on this level. Take her to Nobu in America. Have her take a picture in front of that sign in the lobby of the restaurant. Have her take a picture in front of the sign, and then take her to Nobu in Dubai and have her take a picture in front of that one. Nigga, what you mean the next man?
Exactly.
What you mean the next man? What do you mean? What you mean she going to another dude? What do you mean she gonna do that? How you figure that's gonna happen? How is that going to occur? Yeah, she can go lay up with another fella, but you know what she thinking about. If she gotta fight that hard to avoid that memory, you know what she thinking about? Nigga, please. Nigga, please. Was she gonna take them two pictures or hold on that for the rest of her damn life? She's going to remember that for the rest of her damn life by that nigga talking about, let's take him to Las Vegas. Like he's doing something hot. Like he's doing something hot. What the hell? You go to Colorado. If you're going to Colorado, you take that half of the Pikes Peak. Damn, Jason.
What you know about that?
Man, look here, nigga.
Now, hold on.
Nigga, you ain't even, what the hell you go? Nigga, there's a reason hoes be trying to run folks over in this damn thing. Look, nigga, you ain't going to teach me nothing about none of this. I've been there, done that.
What the hell you know about Pikes Peak?
I've been there, done that, and got the plaque. Damn, a t-shirt. I've been
and they
there,
love
done
it.
That plaque. Nigga, I'm talking about Pikes Peak where you driving from downtown. I'm talking about that, nigga. Where you got Pikes Peak on the horizon and you tell her, you see that up there? Yeah, we're going to be there in an hour. It takes some time to get there.
You better believe it.
It takes some time to get there. Man, look here, because you can see it 20, 30 miles away. We're going to be there. We're going to be there in an hour. What is that? It's called Pikes Peak. You can see it from downtown. It's called Pikes Peak. Here, you better
bring some oxygen.
Better bring some oxygen. Man, look here. Damn going to a restaurant. Damn going to a football stadium. Damn hiking. It's good enough driving across that damn thing. It's a hassle. It's good enough to do that. They ain't ready for that. She ain't seen that. During the damn pandemic, I had to drive over the mountains. Colorado Springs. I was coming up through Colorado Springs from Amarillo, Texas. I was heading up to Oregon. Was cutting up through Colorado Springs because I didn't want to go down below it. I wanted to go over around the mountains to the north. I didn't want to go down around the south. So I'm coming through Colorado Springs, and I'm coming up over the damn mountain. I'm looking now when I'm going up the freeway, the mountains are to your left. I got it on video. The mountains are directly to your left. You got to open the driver's window to be able to see the mountains. And I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, wow. You know, it looked like that episode of Game of Thrones called Hard Home, where the snow is coming down in these fingers on top of the mountain. I'm like, man, I'm so glad I'm not going up there. That don't look like nothing nice. And the sun was still shining. Man, don't you know, over the course of about 30 minutes, the road slowly starts curving to the left. It took about 30 minutes, but I started noticing, I'll be damned, that mountain ain't to my left so much anymore. It's easing its way in front of me. That's when I realized the damn freeway curves to go over the damn mountain. And I'm like, well, I'll be damned. I'll be driving over that in a minute. Brother, and this was like in April. This was like April. So I'm driving over this damn thing. It's so cold that the windshield wipers are frozen. I'm like, can this even happen in April? Damn sure can in Colorado. Clearly it can.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sitting up here, but by the time I got off that damn, and that was nerve-wracking. Oh, that was a nerve-wracking experience. Now, I'm doing 25 miles an hour on my all-season radials, but that was nerve-wracking. So eventually you get to the sign that says Vail. Eventually you get there, but that took like an hour, two hours to go over that damn mountain. Took about an hour, 2 hours to go over that mountain because we're just going, everybody's going real slow. Now, we're a couple of idiots going a little bit faster, but I'm like, yeah, you ain't got to get where you're going. I got to get where I'm going. So. Yeah.
Did you do it with or without snow chains?
No chains required. They had the snow plows out there and stuff. I mean, there was still snow on the road. The road was still snowed over. So, no, you need chains for that. I mean, if you drive like you got some damn sense, you'll be okay. If you got decent tires with good tread, you know, snow chains are really not that necessary except in extreme conditions.
No, they're not.
So you drive like you got some damn sense, you'll be okay. You get over the damn mountain, you see the sign that says go in the Vale and stuff like that. Oh, when I got out the next, I didn't even realize what happened. It was the next morning when I got up. Oh, this big, black, beautiful SUV covered in white. I'm like, oh, there's sand on and stuff like that. I got so damn messed up. I messed up the damn paint because I used the brushes at the car wash because the microfiber mitt wouldn't get nothing off. A sponge wasn't getting nothing off. This stuff was caked on there hard as hell. Like,
oh, yeah.
Couldn't get nothing off. I'm like, oh, I'm just a little old southern boy from Louisiana. I ain't ready for this. I'm not ready for all this.
That's that Colorado dirt. Yes.
So, dude, by this time, I was in Utah.
Oh.
No, by this time, I was in Green River.
Oh, okay. God.
I'm not telling you what another nigga told me. I'm telling you what I've lived. I'm not telling you what another nigga said to me. I'm telling you what I lived. So, no, I didn't want to stop because my thing is when I'm on the road traveling, because I come from Louisiana. I come from Shreveport. I stopped in Amarillo because it was hard. It was a grind. And I was timing it because I wanted to make sure, because I know the mountains are treacherous. Everywhere in America I've ever been with there's been mountains. It's treacherous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Louisiana, which is a flat area. Texas is a flat area. But as you get towards your coast, where there's the West Coast, mountains are treacherous. So the young fellas, it's called life experience. This kind of experience in an airplane flying, you only get this kind of experience on the ground, nigga. You get this kind of experience on the ground in the field. Females respect that. You Spirit Airlines niggas, they don't respect that. They respect somebody who's been out here in the field and can tell them what it is. In any case, so I was coming up that way and stuff. So when I came from Louisiana, I wanted to time it so that I would hit that mountain area in the middle of the day. I didn't really want to hit it in the morning, and I damn sure didn't want to hit it at night. So I was timing it so I could hit those mountains at about 11. Now, I figured from the maps and everything I saw, we'd go around the edge of the mountains. I had no damn idea the edge was straight through it. So I'm like, I'll be damned. Y'all folk who wrote these maps need to have your asses beat. But I'm out here. I got to whoop your ass when I get back to civilization because I can't do it here. So I got over the mountains, and the way I timed it, come from Shreveport, stop in Amarillo, leave a Laredo. I might be wrong about Amarillo. It might be Laredo, Texas I was in. Shreveport, go Laredo. Come from Laredo. I may have to look that up, whether it's Shreveport, Laredo, or Amarillo, because I'm remembering Amarillo, but for some reason I'm getting confused between Amarillo and Laredo. But in any case, because I'm remembering Alamo. That's why I'm thinking, was I Amarillo or was I Laredo? For now, we'll just say Amarillo. Shreveport to Amarillo, and then the idea was to go from Amarillo all the way to Green River. So you're going to have to leave out early in the morning. You got to start out early. But to make those mountains in Colorado at that time, you got to start out early. But we're going to leap from Amarillo. And then we're going to try to get over the mountains. And then the next thing was I usually try to just drive as far as I can. And so I'm like, okay, I at least want to try to get out of the state. So for me, the whole thing is I'm getting across Colorado. That's the whole thing for me. It's not getting across Colorado. So that's what I'm thinking. Okay, so Shreveport, Amarillo, then leap from Amarillo to Green River. Then I'm going to go from Green River all the way up into Oregon. And that's going to take some time because you're going to cross Boise and all that mess. That's going to take some time.
So you're going to stop and you talk?
Oh, no. We're talking about when I hit the road, brother, it's like I'm going to be out there for at least 16 hours, at least.
Okay.
In some cases, I'm going to try to stretch it to 18 or 20. I try not to be dangerous about it. But so it's certain circumstances and certain environments. So that's the way I try to time it. So my thing is about timing my stopping, not – it's about, for me, it's about timing it. So I try to time it a certain way so I know where I'm going to end up at. It makes you efficient. It also makes sure you know where you're at. But it can be taxing on you physically. I'm not going to lie. It can be.
Right,
it can be taxing on you physically. But like I say, I've got life experience out of it. Now, on the other side, coming all the way back down from Seattle, straight down Interstate 5, all the way straight down to Southern California. I can tell you about the mountains and the orange groves. I can tell you about all that. Been there, done that, seen it. Got it on video, the whole damn thing. I'm not telling you what somebody else told me. Those mountains in Northern California that are so damn steep, they got them steep-ass mountains in Southern in Northern California.
That's what, yeah.
Steep.
Steep as the Appalachians?
Some of them are. Now, it doesn't take you up quite as high, but I'm just talking about some of them are really steep as in, you know, they're like walls. So, you know, they're more like pointing there in some of those areas. So it's steep like that. So don't think of it as big so much as, oh, that's kind of funny built, like a Christmas tree, like a big-ass Christmas tree. It's things like that, you know, things like that. Which is cool. It's all right. It's cool, but, you know, yeah. And by the way, I had a female with me when I was doing that. You learn things. If you're going to be with me, you're going to see things. You're going to go places. You're going to learn stuff. These other fellas ain't really trying to do that. They're not really trying to do that. So you got a bunch of young fellas out here, and the best they want to do is go on eternal vacations. You ain't teaching all day nothing with that. A woman is going to remember when you improved her life. You take a chick to the gun range. What's the first damn thing they want to do? They want to go buy a pink gun, which is stupid as hell. Yeah. If you think about it. Stupid as hell. But I'm just saying, you know, it's like, okay, she knew this. She got to learn. So stuff like that, brother. But that's a life-changing experience. Now, after you've done, and that's the other thing, is take us to some dive bars. Take us to some dive restaurants.
Right.
Deliberately, dude, you sitting up here trying to go to five-star everything. Five-star has its place in this world, but you might want to go look for something else. You might want to go look for something else. Charlottesville, we went to Mel's. You saw that. I got it in my documentary, Race War. That ain't no fancy joint. Good burgers ain't no fancy joint. So, fellas, if you're going to go somewhere or whatnot, that's the kind of thing you need to do right there. Okay, there's some five stars. That's good. Also, go take it to a dive place. Make sure you got your candy bar with you, you know, just in case you're one of them tough social situations. But look here. Take her for some new experiences. Show her some things she ain't seen, and don't ask her damn permission. Tell her this the damn life. You with me, this the damn life. A woman is looking for a man who's going to make her part of his life. You don't ask no damn permission to do that. Y'all been raised by these single mother hoes who told you a woman's supposed to run a man. A woman is not looking for you to run you. You supposed to tell her these damn rules.
Exactly. This and they start complaining about
and you going with me. This where we going to stop. This is the restaurant we going to. Then we going to this other one over here. We're going over this mountain over here. This what the itinerary going to be. And if you ain't going, another broad will. Watch yourself.
We not going around. That's right.
I just start packing her things. She's going to be still. You talk to me, Joe, man. Okay, she's packing her things, though, ain't she? She got a choice. You can go. You can pack. You can pack your bags to go with me. You can pack your bags and leave, whichever you choose. I'm coming.
Fellas, you can't let a woman, if you're going over those mountains, she's talking about she's a fear of heights, where she can go to sleep while you're going over the mountain. She can take a nap.
Oh, and, nigga, you know y'all don't want to see that happen. You see me going over the mountains or whatever in the wintertime, look here. All them heifers do the same damn thing. They sit over there and start turning on the heated seats and the massaging thing. They all do the same damn thing. They out like a light. I got music blasting. They out like light. You hear me?
You know what's up.
Don't put them in the back seat with the executive package. The back seat with that executive package. Oh, man, look here. They got to lean all the damn way back. Heating the massages are on. They out like a lamp. You hear me? They out like a lamp.
You got it. You got to take a woman out of her comfort zone. Guys, you got to understand something. I don't know if you took them to the up on Pikes Peak. They got that zoo. I don't know if it's still there. It's amazing. They got stuff up there that'll blow their mind. Some people take their spouses up there to get rid of them, too, but you know how that go.
Yeah, we ain't that far along yet. But like I say, definitely, I try not to stop anywhere. So for me, I don't stop except under certain circumstances. Some guys do. I don't. But, you know,
what
it's just
the
me.
Lodges? The lodges. They got some nice lodges, Jason.
I'm just going to be sure. I'm not really a big lodge person. Now, the females
what?
Are. I'm not really a big lodge person. Well, I'm from Louisiana, so lodges don't have a good connotation for us. But I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I'm not against it. I'm just not a big lodge person.
I
mean, the females always want to do log cabins and all this old stuff right there. So lodges are cool in – lodges are cool depending on where you're at. It's cool depending on where you are. The real thing, though, is as a man, you should have as many experiences under your belt as you can, both good and bad. Because even your bad experience, you can look back on those with fond memories, even your so-called bad experience.
You
all these white men who sit up here, man, nigga, they sit up here telling jokes and everything about this. Remember that time we got sent to jail? Okay, wait a minute. How is this a good But next thing you know, so like I say, even experiences that you think are bad, quote-unquote bad, those are things for you to remember. So as men, our value comes from what we do. Flying at 30,000 feet, that's cool to have that option. I recommend to a young man, see, there's a real reason right here. If you're gonna buy a Dodge Charger, now I will say this, I've driven coast to coast in the Dodge Charger. I think it's a great car for doing that, if you can keep it running. I think it's a great car for doing that. I really do think it is. I think that a Dodge Charger is like a young man's motorcycle from this easy era. A young man with a Dodge Charger that's in good shape, man, he should be traveling from coast to coast in that damn thing. It's a big vehicle. It's actually got more cargo capacity. It's got more width to it. It's wider. The trunk is wider than my Escalade or my Tahoe. It's wider than those. So I'm just saying.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's an excellent car for whatever you want to do, man. It's an excellent car. And a young man should be using that damn thing. When he got a two-week vacation, he should be going on the damn road trip. These young niggas don't go on road trips, all this flued out mess. And then he gets no life experience. He should be able to tell her by taking a road trip to come see her, damn, getting flued out. You take a road trip to come see her. You go map that out. And you're going to see a whole bunch of things along the way. Don't just be driving down the freeway. Turn your damn head and take notice of some things. There is a big, colorful world out there, and you're missing it. You're missing it.
They're and flying over it.
As a consequence, you don't have anything to teach the women. So she gets with you, and no wonder she got contempt, because she can see you don't know anything she doesn't know. She's looking to see
That's
what you know that she doesn't know. And don't worry about pleasing her. She's going to get right with it. But it's not all about taking her shopping or cars or something. That's nice. That's great. That's wonderful. But at the same time, you want to be able to teach them something.
Exactly. Jason, you made a point a little earlier when you were saying that a woman aging out the game is traumatizing to her. Why do you think that is? What is it about a woman aging out of the game? Is it the fact that she can't get attention from men that she used to get? Or what does it do to a woman's psyche?
Because a woman women always start with the same misconception that they've got an eternal hall pass. And the world gasses them up to think they've got an eternal hall pass. Then they wake up one morning and realize, oh, this hall pass expires. And not only does it expires way sooner than the men's does. So they've got this incredible hall pass that just opens all the doors. And then they get used to that. They get very, very comfortable and very, very settled. No, this will just, if I got a problem, butt cheeks. That's the damn hall pass. When in doubt, butt cheeks. When in doubt, if you don't know what you're doing, swing them cheeks. And all the doors are going to open. Well, once you get older, however, your butt cheek pass doesn't work anymore. It starts losing out. It starts losing efficacy. It starts losing its potency. You can't take it to the pawn shop, the mechanic shop, and get it retooled. All of a sudden, this incredible thing that just does all this incredible stuff doesn't work anymore. That's traumatizing because she bet the farm on that, on the assumption that when she gets ready to exit the game, after she's been
there, we go
over and had all her fun, quote fun, when she gets ready to exit the game, that the game will be over when she wants it to be. She's going to exercise power over you men. So the game ends when I want it to end. Then she wakes up one day and she's Ebony K. Williams and realizes the game is already over. Yeah, she's trying to tell you that she's got 2 years left. In her case, in reality, the game is already over. Ebony's sitting there with her damn painted on eyebrows and the jawling is going on and the second chin is forming. It's like, baby, you are not the hot little number you were 10 years ago. Got this crazy ass sheepdog weave sitting on top of our heads, because if that's her natural hair, she should have got the weave instead. So I'm just saying, you sit up here and do that mess and you think you're killing it. And then you wake up one day and realize, I'll be damned, the past is over. Then they don't blame themselves because they never take accountability. They blame the men.
Mm-hmm. Because
so
when she had the look.
Experience, what you wake up one morning and the doors that you didn't go through because you told yourself, well, I'll say that takes responsibility. I'll wait until I want to go through them. Then you wake up one day and realize, oh, hell, my pass has run out. Now she's running and furiously trying to yank those doors open and they won't open.
Right.
Ebony Williams and the rest of them told themselves, because they were told about how cute allegedly they were 10 years ago, that they could take the men off. They could just go down to the producer store and go yank one off the shelves when they got ready. And now they can't. She's mad as hell because she was expecting another white man to come along. The white men said,
okay.
Yeah,
oh.
Year old chick. Now she wants to sit up here and crack the whip on black men and tell us what we need to give to her, when the bottom line is she is guilty of vaginal mismanagement.
She
made different decisions a decade ago. Now she wants to act like she's an MVP, and it's like, no, man. No.
By you giving young women truthful and practical information, are you trying to keep them from failing and falling into the Ebony K. Williams and the Lala Anthony trap, where they live this delusional lifestyle? Now, women over 35 refuse to. This is what I noticed about the women last night, and all the ones that call you in are supposed to be content creators. The women over 35, they refuse to give the younger women practical advice and or support them because they see them as competitors. The older women only focus on what's beneficial to them personally. When you were talking to the woman last night, every time you say, but what about the younger women, she just kept talking about herself. She kept talking about her. You say, but this is why we don't want the younger women talking to you. They wouldn't disagree with what you're saying. So my question to you, my last question, why do older women of today refuse to provide healthy solutions to young women's issues in navigating relationships or in life in general?
Because they're stuck where they started. A female who is in her character to not take accountability when she's young, she doesn't grow out of that. She spends the rest of her life trying to avoid that one thing because her ego is so fragile and so bloated and so damaged that she can't accept anything that impacts it. She's just that weak. So her life revolves around avoiding accountability. So she won't take it from a man, she won't take it from another female, and she won't bring it on herself. And she attempts to live her life that way. Problem, the laws of physics are here whether your bloated ego is here or not. Now, when it comes to young females, it then becomes twofold. Number one, it's about avoiding accountability for themselves because she's older now, but she refuses to admit she was wrong because her ego can't withstand the blow. She'd end up in the mental hospital. The second thing is the younger females in competition, she has a vested interest in not seeing them succeed where she has failed.
Okay.
She now has a vested interest in it. She doesn't. It would be too much for her to take. It'd be too soul-shattering to see them succeed where you failed because she's looking at them and saying, it's not fair. How dare you be able to get chances I didn't, opportunities I didn't. Yeah, but you old bat, you had your chance. Well, the men wouldn't do right. You're trying to dodge accountability. You were the one who didn't do right. So you see, that's where it ends up at. A young female who's hard-headed and won't learn simply turns into an old lady who's hard-headed and won't learn. And what they get upset about is that as the men get older, the men get much smarter and much slicker. So the men know how to prime the pump to get her to give them whatever they want, and she's just chasing the dangling carrot. And with each successive failure, she gets more angry and more bitter. But as she gets older, she loses the ability to retaliate.
Oh. Okay.
So now she's just a little old victim. Now, she desperately wants to be a victimizer, but now she's just a little old victim. Because, you see, a woman's only real weapon is time when she's young. Now,
okay.
If she uses time when she's young, she's got this potent super weapon that just knocks over buildings. If she uses it well when she's young, that weapon does all kinds of things. So that's a sweet-ass spot to be in.
Yes, it is.
But for a woman, it's got a limited lifespan. It's got a limited shelf life. It's not eternal. It doesn't get better with age. Now, there's the real problem is that age happens to all of us. Yeah, but what makes you valuable as a woman, it doesn't get better with age. For men, it does. We get more savvy. We get smarter. We get more assets. We get more resourcefulness. All the things that make us masculine appreciate and value with every year. For a female, all the things that make her feminine depreciate in value with every year. So she's got to leave the casino early and get a man who will make a permanent commitment. She got to get that early. And if she's guilty of vaginal mismanagement, she sticks around the casino way longer. But then she'll tell you, well, I couldn't force the men to accept me. Well, yeah, it's not about forcing them. It's about convincing them. Then she shows you through her attitude she doesn't really think she has to convince a man of anything. He should just be grateful she's there. And that's not the way life works. Everything is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And if you know what breaks a female emotionally, it's when she wants something that's going to cost her and she refuses to pay the cost. She wants it. She wants it bad. But she refuses to pay what it's worth. Now, the cost isn't going to change. Lala Anthony was with Carmelo. Baby, if you're going to operate at this level, you got to be in it to win it. You got to be in it to win it. And you don't get to make the rules. So if you're going to enter this life, you got to be in this life. And you got to be all the way in. She waits 11 years, not 11 months. She waits 11 years and a kid later. And, well, let me go ahead and get out the game. Where are you getting out the game to? You're done. You're fantasizing about where you were 15 years ago. There was another Carmelo waiting for her 15 years ago. There's not another Carmelo waiting for her at 40.
No.
And just understand, it's going to get real grimy and real bad here in a minute when she starts getting super desperate, when she starts heading toward mid-40s, y'all going to be seeing her booed up with a bunch of niggas. And she'll be like Amber Rose, it's not going to help. She's just going to just run, she's going to run all the tread off them draws, and it's not going to help. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get caller Mary Code 720. You're on live with the business on Patreon. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Dr. Black. This is Chemistry from Denver.
Chemistry from Denver. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Everything that you were saying about traveling, I was taking notes. And I'm going to say that you are right about everything regarding the mountain trips. And my brother and I have climbed one or two springs intentionally for the purpose of eventually, you know, for me, taking a young lady up there and showing her, hey, you can go to Vegas, cool. Let's climb this mountain. So, hey, your previous broadcast that you have had, I've been listening to you for about 3 to 5 years now, and I kind of put together my own program. Callers will call you and you'd say, hey, give me a call back in so much time. You've told people to, you know, potentially work two jobs to double your income, to get skills to double your income. And I was taking notes the entire time. And I initially started off working two jobs. And I was like, okay, well, no, I need to get a skill under my belt. So I have enrolled in Lincoln Tech here in Denver, started August 28, 2022, graduating May 24, 2023, in 3 weeks. And I wanted to call to get some advice from you. I am currently working commercial HVAC throughout the week, and I do residential install on the weekend. Position now where I'm getting ready to graduate, and it's a great situation because I have both of my employers competing for me, and I am calling to ask you what is the best direction to go when it comes to choosing one of the employers or anyone else for that matter. So basically, you know, what are the things I should look for when it comes to choosing an employer? Obviously, like the pay and then the training for the longevity. Is there any advice you can give me, sir?
Let's answer the question then. What do you look for when you are choosing an employer? Well, first and foremost, if it's me, number one, of course, pay is important, but pay needs to be balanced. Pay is not the end all. So there needs to be a balance. Robert Greene has talked about this, and I agree with it 110%. I knew all this years before I ever heard of Robert Greene, but he was right. Ideally, you're looking for a job that gives you freedom. I don't mean freedom in being away from the job. I mean autonomy. So ideally, a job that pays you a good amount of money with a minimal amount of supervision. The job is going to let you run it the way you want to run it. Ideally, that's what you would prioritize. Where can I get in that's going to let me run the game the way I want to run the game? That I'm not having a bunch of supervision. I get to do this thing how I want to do it. Ideally, that's what you would look for. That's the direction you would go for, ideally. And that tends to be the place where you get to last the longest. That tends to be the place where you get to hang in there the longest of the places that don't sit up there and put that on you. If you can make a good amount of money and you are able to you're able to have autonomy. So if it's me, I'm really trying to prioritize that. The money is a given. You ain't going to go there and work for peanuts. That's a given. I'm really trying to decide, which one is going to be looking over my shoulder the most and which one is going to give me the most freedom of movement and autonomy. Because it's great to be in a management position, not necessarily management, but to be in a position where you're not being micromanaged, where you get to run it and set it up the way you want to. Ideally, that's where you'd want to be, ideally.
As far as like, is there any advice you could give me on what's the fastest way to maximize like my education that I got at Lincoln Tech? So is there any way that I can like grow? Is there any strategy I can use to grow the fastest? Is what I'm asking.
Experience.
Okay.
You've learned as much as you're going to learn in the classroom. Now you need to go into the field, and you got to put it into work into experience. That's the only way that works now. You can't sit there and just be watching the world. You got to get out there in the world. You're not going to going through theory has its place in this world, but you're not going to grow and learn until you have actually gotten out there and grown and learned. So many of y'all are trying to figure out, how do I do this without making mistakes? You're thinking about it wrong because that's not the way it works. Your goal is not to, quote, avoid mistakes. Your goal is to understand that experience gives you knowledge and knowledge gives you the ability to manage mistakes. Because avoiding mistakes is impossible.
Right.
You're trying to eliminate risk. But eliminating risk is impossible. You can never eliminate risk. What you do is learn to manage risk, not attempt the fanciful, childish notion that I'm going to eliminate it. Understand one thing, young man. I could guarantee you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I could give you an ironclad guarantee that no matter what happens to you in the next 24 months, I guarantee it stamped in metal that you will recover from it. 100% you will recover from it. Would there be anything you'd be afraid to do?
More than likely, no. No.
Well, guess what? That's where you are now. It is just another job. Even if you only work there for a week and they fire you, it's just another job. You will get another one, I promise. you're going to get another one. That's the way it works.
Taken.
So no matter what happens, you were looking for a job when you met them, you'll be looking for one when you leave.
Notes taken.
You just understand that it's all the thing that makes you more valuable is the experience. So you go to the place, you do your job, you don't do something stupid and get yourself fired. And you do the best work
right.
you can. And from there, you know, you acclimate to the environment. Now, there's only so much you can
okay.
do before you go to work for an employer. You don't know what working for them is going to be like until you go work for them. That's why you're cordial and polite to everybody else you applied to. You be cordial, you be polite, you don't be an ass. And, you know, if it comes to it and whatnot, if you got to leave where you're at, you leave where you're at. That's the way it works.
Right. Okay. As far as the commercial residential route, do you have any insight with that? I initially got the idea from your Skills Trades Workshop program. I wanted to also share with you. Thank you for that. And if you can link me up with some of the black professionals in the HVAC industry, that would be awesome. Do you have any advice as far as going commercial or residential? Is there any one avenue that you would recommend?
Well, obviously, commercial is where the money is. You're dealing with bigger units.
Okay.
And you're dealing with folks with bigger pockets. So obviously that
right.
is.
RTUs.
But more important than anything else is being excellent in what you do. Stop worrying
right.
about whether it's residential or commercial. If you're mediocre, it don't matter which one you chose. You're mediocre.
Straight up.
You're going to make mediocre money. So don't worry
right.
so much about residential versus commercial. Worry about excellent versus mediocre. Excellence
copy
makes the
that.
Money. You make money being excellent. Don't focus. Don't chase dollars. Chase excellence. Excellence brings money,
right.
women, and everything else. So don't worry about that part of it. You just concern yourself with being excellent, and everything else falls into place, or at least it allows itself to be managed to fall into place. But if you're not going to be excellent, nothing's going to happen good for you, or at least you won't be able to hold it.
Focusing on excellence. Focusing on excellence. Sir, my last question I wanted to ask you is, do you have any advice as far as eventually I do want to run my own business? So focusing on excellence, I will be able to leverage my skills to create my own businesses. Do you have any advice when it comes to how much time, or are there any jewels you can drop with that?
Well, there is no time frame. The time frame is life. But how old are you?
Yes, sir. I'm 38 years old, proud foundation mm-hmm. of Black American.
Well, we're a little bit down the ways down the road here, but cash is king.
Yes, sir.
You certainly want to make sure you have as much in savings as you can possibly have. If you're looking to build a business, then you're going to be eating bologna and cheese sandwiches for the next couple of years. You need to cut all of your spending. Isn't anything extraneous?
Yes,
you
sir.
Need to hunker down. It's good to have a good credit score, but you need to have a credit score. You need to have savings. You need to have good word of mouth and networking. So all of these things,
okay.
not just one thing. You have to have everything being built up. Now, it takes time, but that's the reason why these things are so valuable, because they take time.
Right. right.
So that's the important thing to keep in mind. So right now it's a building season. If you're going to be doing something that's complicated is going into business for yourself, this is why it is so important that you pay attention to everything your employers are doing. It, literally everything, because that's him running his business.
Yes, sir.
But you have to respect the fact that if he's running his business, he figured it out. You trying to figure it out.
Right.
So there are a bunch
right.
of questions. It's not just that you don't have all the answers. You don't even have all the questions.
Right.
There are questions you don't
right.
even know you're supposed to ask. That's what you learn
that part.
When you observe everything that's going on. So it doesn't matter who you're working for or whatnot. You need to act as if you are a manager in training. No matter
copy
what you do, you behave, you move, you act like a manager in training. Because every business is looking for a manager, especially if they're a self-employed.
Right.
They're looking for somebody else to run this damn thing for them. And I worked with some
right.
of the largest communication companies on this planet. I never actually became a formal manager. I was like assistant, but you know, it's just, I could do everything the managers
okay.
could do. I had all the knowledge that the managers had. And guess what? They left me the hell alone.
Right, you were talking about that in a previous broadcast. I remember that.
Right, so but that's what everybody's looking for. Every employer is looking for somebody who's got the skill set of a manager, but they can pay them a lot less. In your case, that would work for you because you have the skill set of a manager because you're being observant of everything. They're opening up the doors and letting you watch everything. Okay, that's great. It's like, oh, I'm so glad y'all opened this up. This will work perfectly fine when I open mine.
Right.
I'm going to go looking for it because I might have posted the video before, but I'm going to go looking for it. There was a video of a guy who did that. I think I've referenced it one time before, but I think I'm going to go back and go see if I can find it. And inspirational, wonderful story about knowing your value and about knowing how to leverage your value. Inspirational story about it. So that's something else I'll cover. But like I say, don't overthink it. More importantly for you is to get to acting. You're not going to, you can't theorize your way through these things. At some point, you got to get moving. Because the real difference between hustlers and between employers and employees is drive. The employee is sitting there trying to be an A student, theorizing, and the business owner is the guy who stopped theorizing and got the hell out there and started walking.
Exactly.
All the theory in the world, how are you going to become a millionaire sitting in a classroom? You got to get out there and start walking. So stop trying to avoid the experience. Get out there in the field and start throwing some elbows. So you can start getting experience.
Copy that. Copy that, Dr. Black. Thank you very much.
There is nothing that's going to happen that you cannot or will not recover from. Nothing. Not a single thing. The most they can do is fire you. They can't whoop your ass. Or am I wrong?
No, you're speaking facts. And the idea of recovery.
If they can whoop your ass, I suggest you stay there and be quiet and keep your head down. If upsetting them comes with an ass whooping, then on second thought, you might want to just buckle down. But
focusing on excellence.
The worst they can do is fire you, then what the hell are we scared of?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I expect to hear back from you in 6 months.
Copy that.
Get to it.
Yes, sir.
We're done talking. Folks, I mean, to the fellas out there, fellas, the females are on y'all's asses about that. Even the women understand that. What the hell you worried about? What the hell you scared of? The most they can do is fire you. You too ambitious. Okay, nigga, there's jobs everywhere. The worst they can do is fire you. That's the worst they can do. They stand there at the front door. Hey, we got a bone to pick with you. We're going to whip your ass because you trying too hard. Really? No, we're going to whoop your ass, then we're going to fire you. I'm like, oh, y'all know Jason Black. And so I'm like, oh, I'm almost certain that's not going to happen. The firing part, you probably got me there, yes. You can probably fire me with no problem. Yeah, all right. The whoop my ass part, oh, that's not going to happen whether I get fired or not. That one's not occurring. Not at all. Yeah, how you figure that? Well, me and this chair over here, I'm about to pick up and bust you over the head with. Both of us say that's not going to happen. Oh, well, I can get medieval in a second. Well, that's not going to occur. So, yeah, you can fire me, but there will be no ass whoopings under any circumstances. Or if ass going to get whooped, I got a good idea who it's going to be, and it won't be me. Oh, it won't be me. Trust me. You will be attempted ass whooping. I will be successful. So trust me, just leave it at the firing things. This is your last day. All right. Bye. This is your last day. Okay. And we're going to whoop your ass in the parking lot. I doubt it. You might have aspirations. You may aspire to do so, but it will not occur. Trust me, that one will not occur. You sure don't want to do it in the parking lot. Because all I got in here is a chair. I got something a lot more serious out there. So, you want to just leave that alone. You just won't leave that one alone. It just seems like a good idea between your little pointy ears. It just seems like a good idea. And then I'm on to the next place. Because just understand, the money ain't going to stop. The money ain't going to stop. I might have to take another job somewhere else in the meantime till we get things reorganized. That's life. But it ain't going to stop. It is not going to stop, period. End of discussion. Let me tell y'all something. Remember this for the rest of your damn days. Jason Black was working with other people 15 years ago. Some of the largest corporations on this planet. I haven't seen a single one of my coworkers since. I haven't seen a one of them since. Not even one. You keep hustling, you keep moving, you keep driving, you're going to be all right. You let your coworkers worry about themselves, you're going to be okay. I just kept one thing in mind. There isn't anything that's going to happen that I can't recover from. All you can do is fire me. You can't whoop my ass. That's all you can do. And if I do get fired, I was looking for work when I found you. I'll be looking for work when I leave. But I'm going to keep it pushing. I'm going to keep it moving. This ain't Lorraine Hansberry and a Raisin in the Sun. This ain't none of that mess. Niggas take a loss. You dust yourself off and keep it moving. This ain't that bull jive. I told y'all before, welcome to life. I didn't say you're going to be smiling and loving it the whole damn time. I didn't say that. Let me tell you, nigga, when you lose $100,000 in one day, ain't going to be no smiles for a couple weeks. Ain't going to be no smiles for a couple of weeks, at least. You're going to be stressing over that. You're going to be pained over that, believe me. And you're going to recover. And you will recover. I don't want anybody talking to you crazy, talking about you're going to be all right. Let's not do that mess. But you'll recover. Nigga, it's about taking them blows and coming back from it. That's what it's about. That's what makes you a man. That's what makes you a man, knowing that whatever hits you today, you're gonna come firing back from it. You might get knocked down. We're going to get back up. We ain't Garcia. We're getting back up. We're getting back up. Real talk. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up here now. Fellas, you're well advised to take advantage of some of these new things. To the ladies listening, a lot of y'all, your social skills are not up to par at all. Even if I dropped you in front of a seven-figure nigga, the only thing you could do is either talk yourself out of it or get boomed over. That's the only thing you could damn well do. What you can't do is hold him. All of y'all need to get better at socializing, interacting, talking. Y'all need to get better at this. Because the folks y'all are dealing with and talking to obviously are not very advantageous. Obviously not. We'll see what we can do about that. I want to thank all of you for joining us here on Patreon. It's been a good program here today. Some stuff we couldn't say on YouTube, but that's what we got Patreon here for. We'll be doing it again here next week on Patreon. I'll see you all again here probably here Monday as well. Y'all got a whole lot more business today than you're supposed to get. Niggas, Jason, how you spell Nobu? Nigga, I don't know, Jason. It sounds complicated. Nigga, no and boo. Is that two U's or one, Jason? Some of y'all can't be helped. Some of y'all can't be helped. Just Google it. In any case, thank you all for joining us here today. I want to thank all of you who a few of y'all dropped something on Cash App. We appreciate that also. Thank you very much for joining us. And this concludes this broadcast of The Business on Patreon. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, Mr. Jason Black. And until next time, my brothers and my sisters from around the world, remember, handle your business. Oh, shut up, Stacey.
Hello, Jason. It's 7 a.m. Handle your business, or your business will handle you. Have a blessed day. Hello, Jason.